It is a joy to come into the Lord's house and declare his praise with the people of God this morning. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, in the Bible in the chair in front of you, that is on page 458. Psalm 23, we will be focusing our attention this morning on verses 1 through 4. If you come next week in the evening, we will focus our attention on verses 5 and 6. I will read the entire psalm this morning. Psalm 23, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is the word of God. Let's go to him now and ask his blessing. Heavenly Father, we praise you, for you are our great shepherd. We ask that you would still and quiet our hearts this morning. We come to a familiar psalm. For many of us, as we've heard these words before, I pray that you would awaken in us a heart that is sensitive to the comforting promises that it gives us. Nourish us with the hope of eternal life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at a familiar psalm to many of us, Psalm 23. It has been called a miniature Bible. It's been called a pearl of the Psalms. It has been said that there is no psalm in which the absence of all doubt, misgiving, fear, and anxiety is so remarkable as in Psalm 23. There are many good lessons to draw from this psalm. But this morning I want us to ask the question, why does it matter that the Lord is my shepherd? Why does that matter? The first four verses tell us that it matters because the Lord is the only one who can provide all that you need in life. The Lord is the only one who can deliver you from the fear of death. Now, those two things are listed in your bulletin, in your outline. The Lord's the only one who can provide everything that you need in life. He's the only one who can deliver you from the fear of death. Millions of people have memorized the line, "The Lord is my shepherd." What do we mean when we say that? Shepherds were people who lived their lives out in the countryside, feeding, guiding, leading, protecting sheep. I have a book on Psalm 23 that I read my daughter often. Actually, I read it to her this morning, believe it or not. And it has pictures of beautiful scenery and a shepherd that's frolicking out in the open countryside, beautiful surroundings. It makes it look like being a shepherd would have been a very fun thing to do. But the reality was that a shepherd was the lowest job that you could have. It was dirty, you became unclean, you smelled, you couldn't enter the temple because you could not keep the Mosaic law. It was dangerous. You could get disease. It was brutal. You had to live with sheep 24 hours a day, every season, every weather. One writer said, with the exception of lepers, shepherds were the lowest class of men. The lowest class. And that's why it was given, that job was given to the youngest son. So if you remember, when Samuel comes to Bethlehem looking to anoint a king, David is out in the fields because he's the youngest son and he's the shepherd. The older sons got better jobs. A king in all of his royalty would never have taken on the physical job of being a shepherd. What's remarkable about this psalm is that the Lord is described not as a king, as he's described in other psalms, but he's described as a shepherd. What that means is that the God of the universe, who created everything, who is the great king over all of creation, he has bent over, he stooped down to the lowest level to get involved in the dirty details of those he created. He's a shepherd. He cares for his creation at his own expense, as a shepherd would. The Lord is not just a shepherd out there somewhere. David wants you to know he's my shepherd. He cares deeply for you. He wants to provide for your needs. He does provide your needs. If you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say that God is your shepherd. But you have to admit, you are a sheep. What is a sheep? A sheep is a stupid animal that doesn't know its right from its left. I used to go driving out on a ranch in West Texas with my brothers, and there were many sheep there. We would drive at about 20 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, and sheep would just hop out right in front of your car. They didn't know what they were doing. And we would slam on the brakes and honk our horn and flash our lights. And we would even throw rocks to try to get them to move out of the way. And they wouldn't, because they're dumb. Isaiah says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. It means that you don't know how to provide for your own most basic spiritual needs. And since sin has entered into the world, we don't know our right hand from our left hand, spiritually speaking. And we believe that we lack something, and we try to seek to fulfill our needs, what we think they are, with the earthly things that are out there in our community and in our world. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, David is not saying, I have no desires. He's not saying, I desire nothing. He's not using the word want as I would use it. I want to go see a movie today. He's saying, I lack nothing. There is nothing that God has not provided for me. He's given me everything that I could ever need. Often we think that there is something we lack deep down. If I were to ask you, what is it that you look to for security? What is it you look to provide strength, to provide nourishment in your life? Often your emotional life is an indication of what you believe that you lack. You can have everything in the world and still feel deep down that you lack something. And let me give you an example of that. I grew up with a family friend who was a doctor. And he was a very established, successful doctor, academically distinguished, had a beautiful wife, a beautiful family, a great house, all the money that you could ever want. But about 10 years ago, when he was in his early 60s, he was caught. The police ran a sting operation. I won't tell you exactly the details of what his criminal offense was, but he was caught and sentenced to 5 years in prison. Deep down, even though he had everything in the world that you could ever want, deep down he believed that he lacked something. It wasn't his family. It wasn't his house. It wasn't his wonderful wife. In spite of all the money and success, there was something he felt like he lacked. You know, we can be just like that. If you're a young person today, I've heard stories of young people being all torn up inside when they see that their friends have been to a party and they post that on social media and they think, oh, I wasn't invited to the party. And so deep down, there's another shepherd that's operating in their life. The shepherd of their life is the approval of others. They want to be recognized and seen. What is the shepherd that's functioning in your life, deep down, where nobody can see? If you knew deep down that the Lord was your shepherd, how would your life look different? Perhaps you would know that your job is just a job. It's not everything to you. Money doesn't control you. Your relationships are not broken because you're not seeking to get something out of them that God has not already given to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You lack nothing. Your physical body knows that all of your basic needs are met, and you can resist the cravings of the flesh. Let me suggest one way that you can know if something has taken hold of your life and is operating as your shepherd. One way that you can know that David hints at in verse 2 is how you sleep and how you eat. And when he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. That's a picture of perfect rest, of perfect nourishment. I didn't know this until this week, but sheep don't naturally, on their own, like to lie down and sleep. If there is any antagonism with other sheep, if there is any hunger, or they're afraid, or if there's flies and parasites around them, they'll be skittish and they won't be able to lie down and sleep. And God is saying that you need me to clear your life out of everything that causes friction. And I'm the only thing that can give you basic nourishment and rest. That's what he's saying. You can look to other shepherds that will seem to offer life and seem to offer rest, but I am the only one who can ever lead you to true nourishment of your soul. If your job is just a job and you lose it, you'll be able to sleep at night. You'll be able to eat in the morning. But if it's everything to you, if it's your shepherd, then that'll interrupt your basic functions. If your health is just your health and it's taken away, it'll be okay. Because the Lord's your shepherd. But if it's everything, you'll be devastated. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never be thirsty again. So the Lord is the only one, Jesus Christ is the only one who can provide what you need in life. But he is also the only one who can deliver you from the fear of death. Benjamin Franklin once said, "The only thing certain in life is death and taxes." That is true. Death is a certain fact of life. Death is something that comes to us all. How do you deal with it? Is the question. Most people try to ignore it. They try to run from it. And they think that if I just keep my body in perfect condition, I have nothing to fear. I want to show you that because Christ is your shepherd, you can stand up to death. You can face the reality of death. You can ultimately triumph over death because Christ did all of those things. Some people say that death is a natural part of life. There's nothing to fear. It's natural. The problem with that is that deep down inside, we don't believe that it's natural. When someone dies that we love, I've never heard someone at a graveside service say, without any tears, "Well, it's okay, it's perfectly natural, nothing to cry about." No, we're weeping. It's impossible not to be moved emotionally at some level when those you love die. The question is not, do we ever fear death? The question is, why is it that we fear? I would say that there's at least three reasons that we fear death. First, death takes from us everything that makes life meaningful. So if you find meaning and purpose in your job or a hobby or family, it's taking that from you. But second, very importantly, death destroys the relationships with the people that you love. It rips you apart from them. If you find meaning and purpose in your love relationship, in the people that you love, and death takes that from you. And third, death leaves most people who are not in Christ with the uncertainty of what comes after death. And this passage, and many other passages, tell you that you do not have to be uncertain about what comes after death. You do not have to be fearful. The psalmist says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." The reality is that the more hope and comfort that we take in this life, we put in this body, the more we will be afraid of death. If you see the purpose of your life as something here on earth, is a relationship with someone here on earth, then death is going to be the ultimate enemy. Death will take everything from you that you value and purpose. So how is it that David can say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear. I will fear no evil"? Here's how he can say that: because David believed in a shepherd who would come and destroy death. Triumph over it. In fact, that's the very thing that Peter argues in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. When the Lord Jesus has been raised, he will go back and say, "David was telling us of this Savior, the Lord's anointed, the Holy One. He's come." When Jesus walked this earth, he faced the reality of death. In John chapter 11, when he comes to his friend's tomb, Lazarus, he's weeping. He's weeping because he's looking at death. And he's saying, "This is ruined. Everything that I had planned, everything that God had planned for his creation. I'm angry at sin." He's weeping loudly. It tells us that death was not a part of God's original plan for creation. It's not natural. We were not originally created for relationships that end in death. We were created to enjoy fellowship with God and for each other for all eternity. And the good news is that the Son of God has come down to earth to share in our humanity so that by his death, we do not have to experience the punishment of our sin. Hebrews chapter 2 says that through Christ's death, he broke the power of death in order, get this, to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. The Lord Jesus came to put an end to our fear of death. The reason you don't have to fear is because Christ is with you. He is with you. He's the only one who has ever gone through death and emerged victorious on the other side. And so you have nothing to fear. In fact, when David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod was a club that a shepherd walked around with to beat off wild animals who would come and attack the sheep. The Lord Jesus, when he came here to earth, came to destroy our enemies. And the greatest enemy that he has destroyed is death. A staff was something that a shepherd used to lead and guide sheep through the dark valleys and the dark places in life, to make sure they never strayed. And no Christian will ever have to go through death alone. Because God is there with you. He's leading you. In fact, one of the commentators said, only the Lord can lead a man through death. All other guides turn back and the traveler must go on alone. You do not have to be alone facing death. Because Christ is there with you if you put your trust in him. See, don't you see? The psalmist says, the shadow of death. He does not say death itself. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he experienced death as you will never experience it. He took upon himself the wrath of God. Took upon himself the punishment of your sin. He was cut off from God so that you wouldn't have to be. So that you would never experience the punishment of your sin. He says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And that's exactly what he does in his death. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, great Baptist preacher, said, nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway even for a moment. He says, a shadow of a dog cannot bite. A shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. Let us not, therefore, be afraid. You see, you will die physically. But that physical death is the gateway to eternal life. It's the gateway to fellowship and unending bliss with God. And with all of those who have gone before, that your relationships will not end. Those who have trusted in Christ will enjoy fellowship with God for all eternity and with each other. The important thing of this psalm is not that you know all of the words, not that you know all the information, not that you know all the facts of the Bible, but the important thing is that you know the shepherd, the one who David speaks, the one who has gone through death itself, That's the important thing. Do you know the Good Shepherd? Can you say with David, the Lord is my shepherd? If you have gone to him in prayer and confessed sin, if you have asked him to lead you and shepherd you in this life, to take away and remove all other false shepherds, you can trust that he will provide everything that you ever need in life. You can trust that he will deliver you from the fear of death and from death itself. Let's pray. Father God, we confess before you that we often look to many other things in life to give us what we believe we lack. We often look to shepherds in this life to fulfill our basic desires. And we confess that deep down, none of the things that we look to apart from you will ever fulfill us and will ever provide everything we need in life. They will never deliver us from the power of death. Only you, in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, can deliver us from death. So we pray that you would instill in us a hope that cannot be taken from us, even in the face of death, that you would cause us to look death in the eye through the Lord Jesus and trust that we will one day triumph over it, that you will raise our bodies and we will dwell with Christ forever in unending bliss. With our possessions and with our lives, we pray that you would move us to give for the betterment of others, that they may see the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. I pray that you would now be with this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we will sing of our Good Shepherd. We'll sing to the Lord, Good Shepherd of my soul. It's printed in the opposite side of your bulletin. Will the men please come forward to receive the offering?